Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I completely agree. Opening night next year, or any night you go to the new arena and Curry's in the lineup and Draymond's in the lineup, it's not going to look different. They're going to be playing as hard as they've ever played.
Yep.
But I think within that, maybe you look at the games a little different, the stakes of the game and where you want to be down the line. Again, I can't make this clear enough. It's not tanking. It might become that, but it's certainly not going to start that way.
It's because it's going to be a cautious approach.
Yeah.
And how can you tell me that, all right, okay, I agree that the Warriors will go hard early in the season, right? Curry's going to go hard and Draymond's going to go hard. But the last 2 years, what has been the biggest argument or the biggest indictment against this team? They don't take the regular season seriously.
Yeah.
And so how is it going to be for Steph and Dre and Andre Iguodala to say, damn, we were in five straight finals playing in all these big games. Now we got to get up for a December game on a Tuesday night against Minnesota?
That's a good point.
Or we got to get up against the Phoenix Suns on a Monday night? We know how dead those games were. They're not granted. Chase Center will be rocking and rolling, right? But it's Oracle Arena we're talking about here. And they couldn't get up for these games the last two regular seasons. And now they're going to go extra hard and just flip that switch. I don't know, man.
I think that's a great point.
It's going to be a wait-and-see approach deal with this team.
That's a great point because we've all been talking about physical, physical, physical. Think about Steph Curry. He's coming into his sixth season, and he knows they're not winning it this year.
He thinks that right now?
I mean, he's not going to say
that. No, he's the player's mindset. They're not going to say that. They're going to be competitive.
But players know. They know. And what I'm saying is, they had the finals to look forward to, so they were pacing themselves. They're not going to make the finals for the most part. They think something might go crazy. So I do think Curry's going to play like he kind of played before they got really good, which is let's try to win every game and get to the playoffs. But I do think there's two issues physically, but I do think the mental thing is all of a sudden Curry's going to be playing games where you're right, Bonte. It's like, man, we just need to get to get to the playoffs. And now it's like, wait, we're playing and we might not even play in the playoffs. It is going to be a different mindset for those guys.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see it. But collectively, Bonte, I know it's about, okay, we're trying to win the championship.
Right.
But my point is, if I'm the coach, Steph, you're hearing the whispers. They think you can't do it with this roster,
right,
which is going to be lacking, what it normally is accustomed to. Dre, we need you to expand on your offensive game.
Right.
Can you take that challenge? Iggy, love you to death. This is your last year. We need you. That scholarship in regard to minutes, 30 is gone away. I don't think Iggy would be like, you expect me to play 25 to 30 minutes knowing what Durant and the rest of the gang went through?
You're asking a guy.
Yep.
Who is what? 35, 36 now.
There we go.
You're asking a guy to all of a sudden who has played 20. Last year he averaged 23 minutes. The year before, 25. The year before, 26. Look at the last 6 years of his career. He's averaged under 10 points.
I know.
The last 5 years, he's averaged no more than 7.6. So all of a sudden you're going to ask him where he barely survived his postseason run. He had Andre Iguodala had nine different things going on. You never knew if he was going to finish a game or not.
So he's unapproachable, Bonte? That's just
You can do all that.
All right,
you can approach him that way.
All right, so
the role play.
Yeah, I'm Iguodala, though.
I'm Kerr.
Okay. Hey, what's up, Steve?
Hey, how you feeling?
Oh, dynamite.
Well, you know, Clay and KD are out.
Yeah, we're in trouble. But
And we've been talking, Bob and I and Joe, and we think that, increasing your minute usage might help us out. You up to it? Maybe 10 more minutes a game.
Well, so let me get this straight, Coach. You've asked me to play a part-time role in each of the last 5 years.
You are the 16 million this year,
with the idea that we're going to the postseason and probably winning a title. But now we're probably not going to get to the playoffs, or we might not. But I'm supposed to play more at this advanced age. I want to walk when I'm done. I got a lot of golf to play in the next 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
I'm good.
Wow, Andre. Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah.
And then
how those three extra rings I got?
They look nice, but wow.
As a coach, are you going to Bob Myers saying, hey, we may need to get this guy out of here?
Because that's not who Andre is to me. I don't know him.
He's been the last 4 years.
But they've never got into an offseason like this, though, Steiny. I think that means something.
I just think it's a tough ask.
You know?
Yeah, I do, too.
Get him to play 30. Now, you can try to play him 35 minutes, and he may say,
and he may
okay, I want to play. I want to try.
See, that's so,
do
I'm
you
at,
really
okay.
think right. that he's going to hold up when he could barely hold up in the playoffs?
Now, that's different. But we got to exhaust everything.
Yes, you do. I get it. It's a Chase Center. You want to have a grand opening. You want to win for the fans. You want to show San Francisco.
Yeah.
Hey, look, you're still getting the same team from the last 5 years at Oracle Arena. It just may not play like that. So you may have to take a cautious approach. I'm telling you, if we get around January and the Warriors are 15-20 and Draymond's barking, Iguodala's sitting the game out here and there, the trade deadline this year here in the Bay Area is going to be very, very interesting here.
We haven't seen Draymond on a bad team.
No.
Or on a team that's not, I mean, we have early in his career. We haven't seen this Draymond Green being like we're 8 games under 500
right.
in January.
It's going to be interesting.
I don't know if it's going to bring out the best in Draymond. Let's just put it that way.
All right, 888-957-9570. We'll take more of your phone calls here. I want to ask the fans, too, because you brought up something. Should we add the fashion element to all the broadcasts? Should that be a thing in the NBA draft and players walking into the arena? Fab and I did it on NBC
Sports
great. Bay Area. I think for the NBA draft, Steinman's made a great point there. Maybe seeing the jacket, seeing the bling, seeing all the cool shoes. So 888-957-9570. We can talk about that. Plus, Kevin Durant apparently unhappy with the way the Warriors dealt with his injury. We'll get into that. Rick Bucher reported that. He'll join us tomorrow from 12 to 1 p.m. live in studio here at 95.7 Game. It's Bonte Hill, Matt Stein, it's Derek Guru Johnson. Let's swing it over to Anna with the latest on what's going on right here on 95.7 Game. What's up, Anna?
Hey, what's up, Bonte? What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Lots of buzz around the NBA with free agency opening on Sunday. It's officially KD week. What's the latest with Kevin Durant? What will he decide to do and how will the dominoes fall? Bonte, Steiny, and Guru will discuss and give you the latest news as free agency quickly approaches. Now, the terrific trio are live at Rakuten Center, and coming up at noon, the newest Warriors from the draft will be introduced. We'll air the press conference live here on 95.7 The Game, and after the presser, two of the newest members, Eric Pascal and Alan Smalagic, will hop on the show. Then Jordan Poole, who was selected with the 28th pick by Golden State, will join Damon, Rado, and Kolsky today at 3:30. This update is sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or a door ding, Chilton Auto Body's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a call or click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. That's ChiltonAutoBody.com. I'm Anna Kugadag. He's on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
It's Bonte, Steinmetz, and Guru here from 10 to 2 on 95.7 The Game. We're here live at the Rakuten Performance Center where Jordan Poole, Eric Pascal, and Alan Smalagic will be introduced to the Bay Area media at 12 o'clock. We'll have that for you live on 95.7 The Game, and we'll talk to a couple of rookies there. Jordan Poole will join Damon Bruce later on today over the phone. Eric Pascal and Alan Smalagic will join Guru and I here a little bit later today on 95.7 The Game as we're talking Kevin Durant, free agency, what the Warriors will look like next season. Could be rough, may not be rough. Who knows what's going to happen with Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Andre Iguodala, but you do need to look at the future. And right now, the future's cloudy, especially when Mark Stein of the New York Times is tweeting out, fellas, that the Nets are exploring the option of signing Kevin Durant's close friend, DeAndre Jordan, in free agency in hopes that he would make it more enticing for Kevin Durant to join the Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie Irving. The Knicks, of course, hung on to DeAndre Jordan after acquiring him from Dallas in the Porzingis trade back in February and have shown an interest in re-signing Jordan. But DeAndre Jordan going to Brooklyn to possibly join Kyrie Irving and his best friend Kevin Durant is very, very intriguing. So it looks like, fellas, I'm already looking at next season as if Kevin Durant's gone. I mean, we kind of figured
that. Even if he re-signs,
he's gone. Because he's out for the whole season.
And that's the real pain, the fact that you won't see him giving you 82 games and more in the playoffs.
Right. And that's a sad thing there. But it does look like with his movie company moving to New York City, you're seeing reports about his mom buying a house in New York. He's selling his house here in the Bay Area. It seems like the writing's on the wall already.
But Kyrie Irving just closed on that house.
Look
in West
signing it inside. Did Bonte hear that story?
I did hear that story. Yeah. I mean, it seems like the writing is on the wall for the Warriors, which they had a great three-year run with Kevin Durant. He won two championships out of three seasons. I don't think you can look at that as a disappointment at all. Kevin Durant comes, you go back-to-back. You probably beat Toronto with a healthy KD and a healthy Klay Thompson. But things happen. Things happen. That's why there's so many. That's why there's so few teams that have three-peated in this league. It's hard.
Right.
It's supposed to be hard. It's professional sports. But looking at this team now, if Kevin Durant doesn't sign back with the re-sign with the Golden State Warriors, what are we looking at here in at the new Chase Center? What are we looking at?
Well, I think Stoney, you got to reinvent yourself.
I mean, it does all come down to Klay Thompson. And when the Warriors get some kind of clarity, if they do, about whether we're talking 7 or 8 months or 11 or 12 months, and that to me is the first decision that's got to be made with him. Would you bring him back this year, and would that be not rushing him? The other thing is, like, I don't think you can just put out of your mind what happened with Klay and Durant. So I think you do have to be a little extra cautious with Klay. So let's see where you are come January or February, and then maybe you make that decision on Klay Thompson. But I do think the question is also next year you have a core of Curry, Draymond, and Klay. How good are they now without Durant and with, you know, Iguodala aging, Livingston probably off the roster? Like, because we kind of don't know how good – we saw the Warriors without Durant 3 years ago. They were good, but they were younger then. Now it's two Warriors without Klay. Like, I don't think anybody really knows what – they might win 50. I don't think they will, but I wouldn't be shocked.
Back?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how good they are with these guys at this stage of their career.
Yeah, and it's funny how DeMarcus Cousins, when Klay and KD were healthy, if he were to move on – we appreciate your services. I'm telling you guys now, he's like Wilt Chamberlain to this team now that's devoid of talent with right. the injuries. And I don't know. I want him to get him to come back. But I will say this. If Klay Thompson says, you know, next February, what did Iggy say? February might come back. The way the tragic events, and I know nobody lost their lives, but it was tragic the way both of them went down. Steiny, there's no way in hell I would let Klay Thompson come back next year and play basketball for our team. And there is a recency bias. Just the way that it happened and when it happened, we are going to save the player from himself. Because the one thing we know about Klay.
I'm laughing at Steinman's look at you. He's about to get on you.
The one thing we know about Klay is he's a trooper like Durant. They're going to want to go out there.
But without
it's bigger
Klay,
than next season for you, Klay, and the way that it happened. We saw Looney ruled out. And somehow he miraculously came back. You know, guys put it all on the line.
So now you're hedging your bet.
I'm going to go
hedging
a
your
different
bet right
route.
Now.
No, dude, the ACL is serious.
You're hedging your bet, though.
I don't want to see you next year, Klay.
What if they're 30 and 26, 66, yeah, 35 and 30. They got 18, 20 games left. And you're like, you're eighth. And you see,
it's tempting.
Portland
okay.
second.
I got you. And no Durant. Durant's gone on. He's not.
Yeah, but you hammered Portland without Durant this
past year.
You
beat the Rockets without KD.
So it sounds to you guys, it's worth the gamble. Not to me.
Because now
we're down one less superstar who left. He's somewhere else. I can't risk something else happening to my Klay Thompson.
I tell you guys this.
Look at the other way, but go ahead.
No, I was going to say this. If you are 35 and 30,
right,
and you're making a push for the playoffs, what is Joe Lacob going to say?
Well, there you
what
go.
What is Joe Lacob going to say?
Klay will be here for the playoffs.
He's going to want to go for it. He's going to want to go for it.
But there's also a very real situation with the Warriors that, Durant leaves, that's going to hurt. But what if Cousins resigns? And what if Klay, Well, he's coming back. Like March 1st, there's no doubt about it. There's no, I mean, at that point, you have to give that chance. You have to give a chance to that team, yeah. Right?
If Boogie's back and he's healthy off of a fresh offseason, returner from the torn quad and the Achilles tendon, and you get Boogie who's maybe 90% of what he was or 80% of what he was in New Orleans and Sacramento, now you got a big. Now you got a big to where Steph and Draymond don't have to work as hard offensively because you do have DeMarcus Cousins who can say, give me the rock, climb on my back, I'll carry us in this regular season game against Phoenix or against New Orleans. I'll carry us to a couple victories here. Then maybe it changes the outlook of the Warriors and you do get Klay Thompson. You're saying, okay, we have Klay, Curry, Draymond. We took the cautious approach with them. And now we have DeMarcus Cousins who's playing at a high level again, at an all-star level. All of a sudden, it doesn't matter if we're a 6 seed or a 5 seed. Now we can go into the playoffs and we say, you know what? Let's go compete for a championship.
You know,
there's
what?
A lot of what ifs.
I agree. And you don't, like, that to me would be the best case.
No
if,
doubt.
If that, but because think about it this way.
You had me choose, Bob.
Let's say hypothetically,
they
sign Ricky Rubio or Derrick Rose or somebody. So now all of a sudden, you hang in there, you're in the 8-7 spot. Here comes Klay, okay, in March. So now you got Curry, Klay, and Derrick Rose, or Curry, Klay, and Rubio. So you got three nice little guards there. Maybe you hung on to Iguodala. Maybe you load manage the heck out of him. Now, you still got Cousins. You still got Draymond. You still might have Looney. I mean, it's not something that I would mortgage the future on, but you don't have – you can – kind of allow the season to play out, and that may become more and more realistic. And then all of a sudden, it might get exciting come March when the Warriors are, 50 or, 40 and 30, but they're surging and nobody wants to play them. That's possible.
Let's go back out to the phone lines, fellas. 888-957-9570. A lot of guys want to get in here and talk about the mindset going into the next season with the Golden State Warriors. Let's start with Joel and Berkeley. Joel and Berkeley, you're with Bonte Steinmetz and Guru here on 95.7 The Game. What's happening?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking the call. I was kind of the caller who said they're going to go harder than they did normally. I think they could go harder quote-unquote big games. But I do think that next year is going to be about letting those young guys play, letting them play a little bit longer than maybe the coach wants them to because they're kind of screwing up. But they got to get over that and just show us who's ready for the season after that. Who's going to make the team? What kind of player are you? Get out there and put everything you got on the line and see if you're ready to be part of the dominant team that's coming back next year. Right, that's how I think they're going to approach it.
Thank you, Joel, for the phone call there. What you guys think about that call?
These guys are professional athletes, and, I call Draymond a junkyard dog. Jacob Evans is trying to make a niche in this league. He'll be in Las Vegas. So it's so easy, and I'm doing it too, Steiny, to say, let's be cautious if we're not a player. But these guys are grown men. They get paid to go out and compete. And again, I can't sell or tell you what it's going to look like, but I just really believe to my core and fiber that Steph Curry is hearing some of the noise. And what Iguodala went on First Take and said about, how he's hated on. And then they stopped the show. What do you mean hated on? Fans love him. And Iggy said it wasn't the fans. It's the players that whisper that Steph could be, and I know he's not, overrated. So I think Steph is looking at this, guys, as another rare opportunity to remind everybody, Steiny, we can put it on my back. And again, we're not playing the Raptors and Van Vliet in that defense
31
every
years
night.
Old.
And you know what?
He's 31. Years old.
And you know what else? You think Steph Curry's like that? And you're probably right. And every team is saying, now we'll see what Curry's made of. He don't have Klay. He doesn't have Durant. Now we can guard him.
You know what's funny about that?
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. NBA players right now are going to say, we'll see how good he is.
A lot of buddies of mine, when Curry had to go out there in game 3 against Toronto, with no Klay Thompson and no Kevin Durant, I got so many DMs about now Curry knows what it's like to be in a real NBA. Now he knows what Westbrook goes through. Now he knows what James Harden goes through. Like, nobody's going to feel sorry for him and are going to go at him.
Okay, right.
They're going to go at him defensively. Offensively, they're going to trap him.
But also,
and he's 31. He's not 28 no more.
Also, I think there's going to be a lot of games like that game where he had 47, but you know what? It never felt like they were going to win the game.
So it's like the Westbrook triple-doubles in.
Yeah.
He's dropping all these triple-doubles, but Jaeger is a six seed.
If it is that to where it doesn't feel like they're going to win the game, Stein, and he drops 37, 47, at that juncture, I feel like his brand is protected because he did all he could do. You know,
you're talking about his brand or the team?
The brand. Because that's what I'm kind of talking about.
Be fine, he's, right?
You know, we talk about, they negate each other. He's not going to be an MVP candidate. I believe this year, you know, let me see those odds. Because Steph is going to leave it all on the court. Now, is that going to equate to wins, fellas? I don't know. But I know Steph is hearing the noise and he's tired of it.
All right, let's go out to Jonathan in San Francisco. He wants to talk about DeMarcus Cousins here on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Jonathan?
Hey, doing great. Hey, good morning, guys. I think what the Warriors do next season rests on a couple of shoulders, mainly DeMarcus Cousins and Looney. If they get those guys back, I think they're still a playoff team with those two guys, with Iggy and Steph and Draymond. But if they don't sign, you know, Boogie doesn't sign back and Looney goes somewhere, I think it's going to be a flyer year and Joe Lacob's not going to be happy because, you know, Bob Myers and coach Steve Kerr is going to sell him on, hey, let's develop this young guy, let's give him all the playing time they can get. Hopefully they'll be ready for next year. Because at that point, what are you going to do? You know, just rest, you know, the core three, and maybe we could go at it after next year. And if that happens, man, I totally feel like it's like when Jordan was playing baseball instead. You know, the dynasty is taking hibernation. So, but, you know, they'll get back. They'll get their troops back. We get Klay Thompson back next year. We get arrested, you know, core three after this season. And let's go a couple of, you know, back-to-backs for the Chase Center.
Let me throw this at you guys, because this is kind of the way I feel about Cousins. I'm not liking where the Warriors are with Cousins. I think they need him next year. Like, they do need him. But I also wonder, how many games is he really going to help you win? How much better does he really make you? I don't know the answer to that. Part of me thinks, not a lot. But the other part of me thinks, well, he's probably going to be better than he was last year. So maybe, like, they kind of need him because it gives them a chance. But just because you have him doesn't ensure that you're going to have success. That's kind of way. But yeah, if he wants to come back, you got to take him.
And Bonte, you know, I would text you the math. I don't like the math that Cousins represents when all three guys were out there. I felt like he was taking shots away from the Splash Brothers and Durant. But now that you're down two men, Steiny, I mean, that's another facet. Styles make fights. And the fact that you can throw it and hope that he reverts back to the Sacramento DeMarcus or his 80% of that, damn, that's worth two players.
We're talking all offense here with DeMarcus Cousins. Defensively, we saw teams pick on him left and right
all
day long.
You know what? Okay, so you have four big boys, the core four.
Right.
You're going into next season, you're going to lose two of them. It just happens to be Durant and Klay. So, you got Draymond, who's way more defensive than offense. So, Cousins does fit now. Because he's offense. If Klay were healthy and Draymond were hurt, I don't know that I'd want Cousins. Mm. Because, you know, you have your second scorer, but they need a second scorer.
And don't you need to get bigger,
Draymond?
Cut you off there. Don't you need to get bigger? Because you look at now the powerhouse teams, right? We saw Toronto. They were long and athletic. That bothered the Warriors. Ibaka, Siakam, Gasol, they bothered the Warriors. Hell, they didn't even have OG Anunoby. He's a factor on that team. You look at Milwaukee, long, with Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with Middleton. But you look at the Lakers now with Anthony Davis. The Clippers still have Montrezl Harrell, who ate. He ate big against the Warriors in the first round. These teams are getting bigger and longer. So if you do lose DeMarcus Cousins, not only don't you have Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, but you're basically small in the paint. And you got nobody who can go up there and just get you a bucket in the paint. That's why DeMarcus Cousins, you know, they all talked about it's a luxury and this and that. What is his market? Can the Warriors get DeMarcus back on the mid-level with a 20% raise? Or is there a team out there saying, you know what? The Warriors are vulnerable. We're tired of them running the league. somebody needs to take the bullet and sign DeMarcus Cousins and give him $10 to $15 million per season.
Yeah, and as crazy as this sounds, I feel like just for next year's team, he is the Kevin Durant, DeMarcus Cousins. And, Steiny, you don't feel, you know, you don't feel good about, you know, their chances of getting him, but give me another 2010 guy, you know, on a good day that's already proven he can do it year in, year out. To me, for next year's edition of the Warriors, he's everything. And, you know, that could be another blow, Steiny, if they can't get him.
Listen, the hardest thing for the Warriors and their fans this offseason is they're not in control of anything. The Warriors have no control. It's Kevin Durant's decision.
Yep.
He'll make that decision, and then the Warriors will decide which way to go. Same with Cousins.
How frustrating can that be for Lacob and Myers?
It's probably more frustrating for Lacob because he's more of a madman, you know, than Bob Myers. Less, a little less even keeled, a little more emotional. So, yeah, I'm sure it eats it. Joe Lacob, it's a little different for him.
How much are these rookies going to contribute next season? I mean, because Jacob Evans last year was a first-round pick, and he was up and down from Santa Cruz, didn't play much. They're high on Jacob Evans. Apparently, he's going to move to the point guard position. He'll handle the ball more, and they believe in his defense. Rod Adams joined us last week, and he basically talked about a situation where he was defending Damian Lillard, where he didn't go for the pump fake. He stood his ground. He played it very well against Lillard, who's an all-NBA guard. How much are these rookies going to be asked to go out there and give the Warriors a quality 10 to 15 minutes a game? Because you got Evans, you got Jordan Bell, who was heckling Jide this season. Quinn Cook, we know who he is. Alfonso McKinney at times are like, he looks very playable. He looks good on the offensive glass. And then there's times where it's like, is the moment too big for him? Is it just too big for Alfonso McKinney? You know, this isn't Luxembourg. This is the NBA Finals. Like, is it too big for Alfonso McKinney to take on more of a load here? They're going to have to count on these rookies, Steiny.
I don't know if it's count on, but I think they're going to say to these guys, look, first month, month and a half of the season, you show us something, you're going to be a rotation player. I do think guys are going to get a chance. I definitely think Evans will get more of a chance than he ever had. But, see, this is that thing where I always go back to last year after the parade when Kerr said the bench is going to have to carry us next year.
Right.
Well, it never did. So did he give up on the bench, or did they make an internal decision saying, you know what, we can't play these guys. They're not good enough. And what if they may go into next season saying, we think Pascal can play some minutes. Jacob Evans, we think, can play some minutes. Poole.
Jordan Poole.
Poole can play some minutes. Okay. That's a good plan, but what if after a month you realize we can't play them? They're not as good as we thought. That sometimes happens.
And then you're in trouble.
Yeah. And about Poole, you know, a lot
but
of people.
They should get a chance.
Yeah,
sure.
No doubt. I always say I'd rather coach the player, Bonte, that shoots too much than doesn't shoot enough. You know, I know he has that motor, but Poole looks like he can put it on the ground and create his own shot. And I know. You know, Steiny was like, well, I don't know. But guys like that, I feel like the college game pool mainly, to hold them back. So now who getting this open space in the NBA? And Fredette, they got to be blessed right now that
Warriors. You're going to count on Jimmy
No,
Fredette?
I'm not counting on him. But he's got, he's got an opportunity because his team needs bodies.
He does have an
that's
opportunity.
That's all that I'm saying. You
There's
know?
Minutes here.
There's but minutes but, here. That's but, what I'm saying.
That's where we're going, though.
God love Jimmy Fredette.
I love him.
But I'll tell you right now, if it's January and it's like, oh, look at Jimmy Fredette. He's playing 18 minutes for us. You're not going to be very good. Then you're looking at a bad record, I think.
Well,
let's make out a phone call here before we hit the break. God love him. Jimmy Fredette did a solid for me in Summer League a couple years ago. He's like the old veteran in Summer League. It's like, man, he's still living on to that dream, man. He played in the league. What did he play for last year? Phoenix? Was it Phoenix late in the season? Yeah, Phoenix played with the Suns. So Jimmy Fredette, he's going to be on a Warriors Summer League team. Let's go out to David real quick in Redwood City. David, what's up, man? You're on 95.7 again with Bonte, Steiny, and Guru. What's happening?
Can you hear me okay?
We got you.
Okay, about an hour ago, I was tuned in to you guys, and I had to go into an appointment. And I think there's going to be a huge disappointment that we aren't going to have Roracle at Chase. And the perfect example I'll give you, I bought PSLs at Levi, went there. All of a sudden, a lot of people got priced out. You didn't have the same fans that you had at Candlestick. Half these dot-comers. Because there's a lot of space underneath the stands with a lot of things to do. That's why those stands are empty half the time, Levi. You're underneath partying. And I think the exact same thing is going to happen at Chase. And people aren't talking about it, but you're not going to have the same fans.
See, thank you for the phone call, David. I'm a city guy.
Okay?
I'm a city guy. And I think it's going to be a difference with the crowd at Oracle and Chase? For sure. Absolutely. But this won't be Levi Stadium. It was the 49ers who decided that it was a good idea to move 45 miles south to a city nobody in the Bay Area goes to visit. There's nobody like, Guru, you grew up in Union City. Friday night's happening. You're with the boys. You got some pops going on. You're like, hey, let's ride down to Santa Clara and see what's popping tonight. Nobody ever says that. Like you go to San Jose.
Right.
You might go to Burlingame. You know what I mean? You go to Oakland. But nobody's saying, hey, let's go to Santa Clara. So it's the Niners' fault for putting a stadium in the middle of nowhere that's very sterile. I don't think that will be the problem at Chase Center at all.
But if the Niners were good, Steiny, they could be in Timbuktu. I'm going specifically to get that dose of that great team that this Warrior team once was. And now it looks bleak. But we haven't seen it. Guys, they're coming off an NBA Finals in which they lost, took it to six games. But my point is, I'm more intrigued, and nobody wants this, but I'm intrigued to see if Iggy, Dre, and Steph, what it's going to look like.
Damian
and if
Lee.
It's bad, how it's going to be bad. Steiny, it's different than years past where, wake me up, we're going to be number two, one seed. You know, this is – it's a newness to it as well.
Well, let's – here's the question I've been asking for years. What happens if you have to take a 35-47 win team to the new arena? Not necessarily next year, but look, we've seen the Giants. They won it 10, 12, 14. It's 5 years later, and they're at their nadir. This stuff is always cyclical. So it may not break up next year, but it's going to break up in the next two or three or four.
Nothing lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever. All right, we're going to talk more about the Golden State Warriors or rookies. We'll be announced. Eric Pascal, Jordan Poole, and Allen Smiley-Geach. They'll be introduced to the media at about 12 o'clock, and we'll have that for you live here at the Rakuten Performance Center on 95.7 The Game. It's Bonta Hill, Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Bonte, Steiny, and Guru here from 10 to 2 p.m. live from the Rakuten Performance Center as we get you set for the Warriors' introductory press conference where they introduce Jordan Poole, Eric Pascal, and, of course, Allen Smiley-Geach here in moments. It's going to start about 12 o'clock, maybe 12:05. We'll see and keep you updated, but we will throw to it live as we're talking Warriors hoops. Talking a lot here. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, of course, meeting. Kevin Durant apparently not happy about the way the Warriors dealt with his injury. We'll talk to Rick Bucher, who had to report from Bleacher Report. He'll join us tomorrow live in studio from 12 to 1 p.m. on 95.7 The Game. Rick Bucher breaking all the news with Kevin Durant. I owe him an apology because he said KD would be out 3 to 6 weeks with the calf strain.
And what'd you say?
I laughed at him.
You did, on air?
I laughed at him on air.
Oh,
so I owe him
an apology.
So my bad, Rick. I will apologize in person. We're going to take more of your phone calls here. That's the manly thing to do, right, Steiny?
Yes, it is.
Apologize.
It
laugh
is.
At somebody's report and just it apologize. Is. And I'd rather do that man to man with Rick Bucher tomorrow. Say, hey, you were right. I was wrong. And that's that.
And we're on to Cincinnati.
And we're on.
That's simple.
It's that simple. 888-957-9570. We're on to Santa Cruz right now talking to Matt. He wants to talk about KD, Kevin Durant here in the Golden State Warriors. What's up, Matt? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
My question is, why are we not talking about the Durant money? Like, is it a cap rule that there's the available money if he's a former player but not for free agents? Because otherwise, you know, let's hypothesize he's not coming back. Doesn't that open up a whole bunch of money? We could talk about Kawhi coming over. We could talk about a bunch of fun things.
No,
I'm not going in that direction.
Bird rights.
Well, see, that's the problem.
Oh, unfortunately.
The easiest way to explain it is you can pay your own guys as much as you possibly can under the rules. If you want to sign a guy from another team, though, then you have to be either under the salary cap or make a trade for equal money. The bottom line is the Warriors' payroll is so high that when Kevin Durant, if he leaves, and you take $30 million away from it, guess what? It's still over the salary cap.
Wow.
And luxury tax, so they can't do anything. All they have is a mid-level exception right now, which will be about 5.3, I believe.
5.4, something like that.
And it hadn't always been like that, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It has, yeah. I mean, it has. I mean, you can't allow the Warriors to let a team sign all their free agents and then go sign Kawhi Leonard just because, you know.
Now, I saw Ron Adams working out with the rookies on the other court here, side court. And there was big news over the weekend about Ron Adams. We're talking about Kevin Durant, Iguodala on a one-year deal, and Draymond, and who's going to be on a roster. Well, who's going to be on a bench sitting next to Steve Kerr? We know Mike Brown will be back. Jaren Collins looks like he'll be back. Chris DeMarco, I think, is kind of up in the air. Willie Green has already gone to Phoenix to join Monty Williams' staff with the Suns. What about Ron Adams? Because it looked like over the weekend it was reported, I'm not sure who had the report, I just kind of got a ticker here or a little notification on the iPhone, that the Lakers were granted permission to interview Ron Adams. So
it sounded like they had met.
It sounded like they had met. What if you lose Ron Adams here, your defensive coordinator? What does that do here with the game plan, and how different will the Warriors look defensively without Ron Adams?
I mean, my question would be, if he were to go to the Lakers, why did he go to the Lakers? Like, why did Chelsea Lane go to the Atlanta Hawks? I mean, it tells me the offer was better in Atlanta. It just does. And so the one thing the Warriors have done, and they've always done under Lacob, they let their people talk to whoever they want. That's just one of the things Joe Lacob believes. He doesn't.
Is that good for business?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, the feeling is that if you're a great organization, people are going to want to pluck your guys. And that's if Ron Adams goes to the Lakers, all of a sudden the Warriors have this coaching tree all over the league, and it's the Warriors. So I get that part of it. But I think they'll feel it. I think they'll feel Ron Adams'
and
departure.
All the little tips he can give Anthony Davis and LeBron and Vogel down there to deal with the Warriors without a Durant and Klay Thompson.
And knowing the inner workings of the Warriors and how they operate.
No,
what's the weaknesses of Draymond Green and Steph Curry?
Well, we'll also lose a listener.
His
wife's a big listener after games.
I can't believe that.
You didn't like it when
you know
said
what
it.
I'm going
to
talk.
No, I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. Did. He listens to the show. Come on.
That was Papa.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jeff in Sunnyvale. Jeff in Sunnyvale here on 95.7 The Game. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Loving the show this morning. One quick comment. I hope they, fork up some money and keep Ron Adams. I don't care how much it costs. But I have two small questions concerning these young guys. The rookies this year, were they scouted by Mike Dunleavy? And then also, if just say, for example, if we were to compare it to the 49ers, if they had if the 49ers had those same draft picks, the first and those 2 seconds, whoever they would have drafted, they would have been expected to be starters. And I think I know why the answer is to my question already, but I just want to hear from you guys. Why is it that these guys don't have higher expectations coming into the league to play better and be contributors? All right, thanks, guys.
I mean, how many NFL players are there? 50 times 30, basically? Yep. What is that, 50 times 30?
Well, you got 53-man rosters on game day. 53-man rosters on game day. You start off with 90.
50 times 30, yeah, 1,700. NBA's 12 times 30, which is 400 players, 360. So there's also 11 starters on each side of the football field, so you'll get a starter. There's only 5 starters in the NBA. So when you draft late in the first round, especially if you're a good team, it's tough to expect guys to play. As for Mike Dunleavy, yeah, he's definitely was a scout for the Warriors. I think Larry Harris is probably the guy doing most of the draft stuff right now. He kind of took over for Schlenk when he left. So if there's somebody to blame, I'd blame Larry Harris if this fails. Definitely. And come down his road in a big way. You feel free to come down Larry Harris's road if these picks don't pan out.
But
he might know more about golf than basketball.
Yeah, he's a big fan of yours. That's our guy. But there wouldn't be one Warrior fan walking this earth that would have the audacity to where if these three don't pan out or can't contribute as much next year and say the Warriors don't qualify for the playoffs, we all know why, right? We all saw what happened in the finals. I guess where I'm going, fellas, is there would be nobody to blame. All this winning that this organization has done, you would think that they've created, you know what? We couldn't get past Clay not being there. We couldn't get past the loss of Durant, DeMarcus leaving. I guess what I'm saying, Stoney, there's no excuses, but this would be the one team that would have a season for a mulligan before people would hone in, like, why didn't Smiley Geach, why didn't he pan out? Why didn't Pascal pan? I mean, they're going to need maybe, hopefully, not more than 1 year, but
past year,
there would be no article on what the Warriors are doing things wrong.
No, I think what we might find is, maybe Steph Curry is on the downside of his career. I mean, what if next year they play and it'll be clear that, you know, if you take Steph out, if you make Steph a volume shooter, you're probably going to beat the Warriors. And, I mean, he could average 28 a game, but, you know, instead of shooting 43% from threes, maybe he's down to 38, 39, and his shooting percentage comes down. That's why it's like there's no guarantees to me in 2020 because things happen quickly.
And the free agent list in 2020 is not that strong. You know, a lot of people are talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Right.
Well, he's not a free agent until 2021. And what if he looks at the Warriors, say, you know, I like Steph Curry. I know I picked him first in the All-Star game to play on my team. But he's 32 now. He's 33 now. Klay Thompson's in his 30s. Can I really go there and win? Because free agents will go where the money goes. There's no doubt about it. But can I go there and win a championship? And I'm just not sure guys like that will be willing to come to the Warriors anymore. The biggest chip you had with Kevin Durant is, look, we just won 73 games. We're beat up. We took Cleveland to a game seven. We lost. But we did win a championship already. You know we can win championships here. We just need you to take us over the top again to win these championships. And you don't have that chip no more.
And that's why it's so sobering. And I believe if you were, and, you know, I'm thinking outside the box, though, fellas, but if you were to approach Draymond, you know, at the All-Star break next year, if the Warriors don't have an attractive record about possibly moving him or Andre, it would almost be like, you know, I could see them shaking Meyer's hand, like, do what's best for the organization and try to get me to a winner, Stoney. Because at the end of the day, just what you talked about in the class, the free agent class, it's not that great next season, Bonte. So I don't think there's any scenario outside of moving Steph that's off the table. And I believe Dre and Iggy are in that to where they would almost understand, hey, we know it's a business you got to run.
I think you got to explore that, right? A couple guys on one-year contracts.
The problem is when you say explore it, people freak out and they think that's what you want to do. But I'm with you. If you're Joe Lacob, we've seen how he does things. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe even Iguodala went to the Warriors and said, look, I know we're in a bind next year. So if you need to move me, just don't send me to, you know, just send me somewhere cool.
Isn't that what being light years ahead is all about?
Yeah. Wow.
Is being ahead of the curve, which is the Giants didn't do. They just thought, oh, well, let's just add and add and add.
Right.
Not realizing their window closed. Maybe this front office says, you know what, we had a great five-year run. This window is closed, but let's go into the next chapter and figure out how to rebuild this thing around the talent we have. I think you got to explore all these, and people will understand. The logical fans and the logical people out there will understand, like, okay, it's time to maybe reshuffle the deck.
The only problem is that, you know, 3 weeks ago, this thing was supposed to be rock solid for another two or three years. And now, it's like everybody knew, at some point we're going to have to deal with stuff. Nobody thought there would be an opportunity to deal with it this soon, or that there would be a push that you might have to deal with it this soon. I think that's the part that's kind of sobering if you're a Warrior fan. Wait a minute, we're talking about trading Draymond Green? Well, you know what? We're talking about having to talk about whether we want to trade Draymond Green or not.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM in HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. It's Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill, taking you from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. here live at the Rakuten Performance Center.
Like, Yeah, go ahead. Let me.
No.
That's my first of many bad interruptions that we're going to have.
Let's get it out the way now. Might as well pop cherry now, Steinman.
Like, I was just thinking this. Like, what if halfway through the season, or what if near the All-Star break, the Lakers are playing well, but they just know that they don't, you know, they just don't. And they say, I'll tell you what, Warriors, you give us Draymond Green, we'll give you Kuzma. Well, you got to think about that.
Oh, man.
I mean, you'd be crazy not to.
Yeah,
right?
And I love Dre as much as anybody, but that would be.
And then
Dre will
say, that's cool because I'll resign in the L.A. You know, I'm not saying you do everything that comes up, but you got to start listening now.
Now, unlike you two, I've had my heart broken. And the Warriors have had their heart broken
before.
Okay. So Joey Lightyear, Steiny, has saw Clay and KD go down on the championship level. My point is, do you think that's made them thick-skinned to where going to Andre or going to Dre is not going to be as emotional as it once was because that heartbreak times two made their skin as tough as leather to where they're like, you know what? There's not anything that can make us uncomfortable. We don't want to move you two, but now I can have that conversation and nothing will penetrate or be that difficult as opposed to watching two of our greats go down when we were this close to a three-peat.
I think as it relates to Iguodala, he'll be fine. You know, Iguodala's probably the guy who's like, yeah, I get it. I get it.
But I'm talking more of lake-up.
Well, I thought you meant with
like management. Management would be like, hey, we got to do it.
I think the Warriors and Draymond have something now that nobody knows. There's a real Draymond switch agent. He has Rich Paul. He's a free agent at the end of next year. Like whatever sign Draymond's trying to show or whatever reason he did that, Warriors have they probably have a good idea why he's done that.
Right.
And so like I don't think all of a sudden it's like, well, now we might have to deal with the Draymond situation. They kind of know, I'll bet. Not necessarily whether they're going to re-sign him or trade him, but either some trouble might be brewing with Draymond. I mean, we're not going to be able to give him the max next year. We know it, but he still thinks he's getting it, so we got to figure that out. Yeah, it's a lot of moving parts.
I'm telling you, trade deadline, look out if the Warriors are 20-30 and you get to the All-Star break and it's like, what do we do here? Do we risk losing these guys for nothing?
Right.
Or should we try to get something? As Bob Myers, Eric Pascal, Jordan Poole, and Allen Smiley Geach take the podium here. We're going to take you live to the introductory press conference for the draft picks here at the Rakuten Performance Center.
Getting ready to set up here.
Here we go.
Yeah, we got the
master of ceremonies. Talk. Okay. It felt like everybody looked at us.
Want to thank everybody for coming out today.
There it is.
Welcome everybody watching on NBC Sports Bay Area and the Warriors flagship 95.7 The Game. I'm Bob Fitzgerald, the Warriors TV announcer, and this is always a special day. We get to welcome three new members to the Warrior family, and then in between the end of the playoffs and...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.